Janice, come on.
Thank you. I do think I got the wrong microphone, but okay. Hey. That was on me, Travis.
Sorry.
Hey, y'all. Yeah, you can go ahead and take a seat. It wasn't just you. You're okay. Me up here fidgeting with my things. Y'all, last one. Oh, it's okay. Genuinely, I have just loved this weekend. I've loved, obviously, these times together, but I've loved getting to pray with you. I've loved getting to hear some of your stories. I've loved catching the sunrise beside some of you. I mean, you know, in my backyard tomorrow morning, it just won't be quite the same. Such a gift, my backyard, but just, you know, doesn't have that beautiful snow-covered mountain. This morning, I think, is going to be a really special and beautiful way to wrap up our time together, as hopefully you feel like you're leaving here a little more equipped to walk in the ways of the Lord by the power of the Spirit. And I love what was just shared with us of your tank being filled back up. But you know, we got one more session, so might as well see what else God wants to speak to us this morning. So if you got one more in you, can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll see y'all back here tonight. Seems like you got, all right. All right, so as we have been, we're going to be back in Ephesians 4. Look at y'all. Good job. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, and using this again as our foundation, we're going to jump from here into our final conversation around equipping today. So Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. One moment. I got it. All right. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 says this. And God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints. Hey, saints.
Hey.
For the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Remember back in your mind our conversation around work. We're going to work wiser, not harder, right? For building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood or womanhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love. So here's our final verses of our key text this weekend and where we're going to be headed this morning. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I love how, no pun intended, this text ends with repeating that the reality of one of the greatest things we are equipped with and one of the greatest things we are equipped by is love. And so this morning, we are going to end our time together talking about being equipped with love. And I'm going to tell you, I think this is a message the church needs right now of truly defining what love actually is. Come on, I think we can all attest to the reality that culture has turned love into a shallow, vapid, we get to select what it is, how we use it, how we extend it, how we keep it, what it is, what it isn't. And this morning, we need to allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to redefine the truth of what love actually is. So using these last two verses as our launching pad, we're going to go from here of like, okay, so equipped with love, what does that actually mean? And for that, we're going to jump over to the other John 3:16, Okay, do you know there's two of them? So you know the one that's quoted a lot, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Beautiful. The gospel wrapped up beautifully. But John doesn't just say it there. He also says this beautiful reality in 1 John 3:16 that we're going to be teaching from today, learning from today. And I love John, and I love how in the Gospel of John and in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, which many believe he wrote those as well, that he is the New Testament writer who talks about love the most. Which is not ironic, considering that John is the one in the Gospel of John who refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So cheeky. I love that. It is the disciple whom Jesus loved who wrote this. I think we all know who we're talking about, you know? He doesn't even say his name. He's like, you guys know what I'm talking about. And people like joke about this, you know, what a great thing to write about yourself. But I don't think John was being like prideful or pretentious. I think John was revealing to every current disciple and every future disciple that when you get a true glimpse in the mirror and you get eyes to see yourself the way that Jesus sees you, we also with confidence would say, I'm the disciple who Jesus loves. It's not just John's identity. That's your identity. The beloved disciple. And John continues to highlight love for us as one of these things we are equipped with and one of these things we are equipped by taking us to 1 John 3:16. And we're going to teach from this one verse today. Just one. But I love Dr. Hawker says this about 1 John, that there is a chapter in every word and a sermon in every letter. I've never written anything that good. But 1 John 3:16 says this, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. In this one text, I believe John is helping us answer three universal questions, not just that Christians ask, but that the world is asking. What is love? Or again, as ancient theologians say, what is love? You get it. Yeah. What is love? What does real love look like? And how do we actually love one another? So these are the questions from this one verse that John gives us clarity on. We're going to go through this maybe a little quicker this morning because I want to leave some space at the end before brunch, which is the most women's retreat thing we could possibly do. And who doesn't love brunch? Okay, if you just like brunch, it's like, just receive the joy. You know what I mean? But I want us to have some time at the end to activate what we've been equipped with this weekend. Okay? So John helping us answer, what is love? What is love? What does real love look like? And how do we actually love one another? So, verse by verse, excuse me, sentence by sentence, we're going to go through this together. Y'all ready? All right. So, what is love? John answers it very simply, by this we know love. And if you're looking at that and you're like, Mayor, that's not an answer. That's a dot, dot, dot. Okay, I'm going to help us answer this. We know not all loves are created equal, right? Like, hopefully you love pizza. I do. I didn't mean like, hopefully you love pizza, but hopefully you love pizza differently than you love your spouse. I hope. If not, I believe there are marriage retreats here. You can sign up today. I love pizza, but hopefully I love my mom differently. You know what I mean? But the English language, hate to tell you, it's just not a great language. All right? No disrespect, Okay? I'm just saying, we don't have like the beautiful, diverse words that a lot of other languages have to define different types of love. In the original language that this was written in the Greek, there's such beautiful, diverse words for love that define different types of love for pizza and person, you know? Now, given the time of day, give me a good pepperoni pizza and my love may overflow. But I want to clarify for us that we know what we are saying when we say this word love, what John is saying. One of my seminary professors says that reading the Bible in English is like reading it in black and white. Reading the Bible in its original language is like reading it in color. I don't know Greek yet, but I have study tools for Greek, okay? But there's four words used for love in the New Testament that I want to outline for us, all right? So the first word for love used in the New Testament is eros. Come on, throat. You've held it together all weekend. You can do this. So eros, this is romantic love. This is the love that I'm starting to experience for the first time in my life. Thank you. But so maybe you can go home. Speaking of this marriage thing, you can be like, hey, babe, I eros you. He'd be like, I don't know what it means, but I like this retreat that you went to, you know? Romantic love. Storge love is this familial love. Brother, sister. This is a lot of the love that we've been called into this new family of Christ. Storge love. Then you have philia. Does that ring any bells? Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. This is just a deep love between friends. This is like my friend Kaylin came with me. Philia love, man. That is my deep friend. I love her with a philia love. And then the fourth word used in the New Testament is agape, which means sacrificial, selfless, unconditional love. Okay? Eros, storge, philia, agape. Y'all didn't know you were coming to a linguistics class, all right? Now, probably self-revealing, which love of those four do you think John uses in 1 John 3:16? Nailed it. Guys, you are passing class. Well done. They'll be posted at the end of the day in the back. 1 John uses the word agape, and he uses it on purpose. If you want to know what love looks like, then we need to look through the filter of agape, selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. This is the same word used in John 13:35 after Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Sacrificial, selfless. Nasty man feet walking through the desert. But the point wasn't the washing of feet. The point was as visual people, we needed a visual lesson on what agape love looks like. And it is there is nothing I'm getting in return by kneeling down and washing your feet. But Jesus is saying, if you want to know what agape looks like, it looks like me. It looks like this. Selfless, sacrificial. If you want to know what love is, this is what it looks like. Y'all with me? Great. So that's what love is. Number two, the question, what does real love look like? John continues, he laid down his life for us. I'm going to tell y'all, we are incapable of knowing real and true love without taking a long look at the crucifixion and the death of Jesus Christ. And I just want to invite us again this morning, fellow saints, women of God, to the reality, like a petition from like the bottom of my guts, to not just get a sanitized view of the reality of the cross of Jesus Christ. Agape, selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love on full, humble display on the cross of Jesus Christ. And I have cross necklaces. okay? I love a cross on a steeple, but if we are not careful, we start to view the cross versus our lens that we've gotten. We, with good intentions, we started using this as a symbol of a reminder, but it's become so clean and sanitized that we forget the reality of what happened on that cross. So I just need us to think about this morning. Remember, we talked about a sanctified imagination. To use our sanctified imaginations to remember the reality of the cross. Can you imagine a person who has been through the most physical, emotional, psychological pain anybody has ever gone through? Imagine lungs collapsing, filling with fluid, eyes so beaten, swollen, bloody, that they can barely see out into the crowd. And with what little vision and with what little breath our Savior had left, he still looks out into the crowd that decided to crucify him and says, "Father, forgive them." What kind of love is that? And so I've been praying this morning that you and I would just get, not to just get in our feels, but so that you would never doubt if you are loved or not. When we get a true view of the cross of Jesus Christ and what he was willing to endure so that you and I cannot just be saved, but to now live in a reality of a full, loving life with our Creator and our Savior. So what I'm about to do is read, there's this beautiful sermon by Charles Spurgeon that I've read that it literally is just a, I don't know how many pages it is, but it's a sermon on the cross. And there's this beautiful quote that it's a longer one. It's going to come up on the screen, but I'm going to invite you into our sanctified imaginations. However is going to help you best to not check out right now, do that. So if you need to close, sometimes it helps me to close my eyes to like really listen to what's happening, then I'd invite you to close your eyes. If you're going to fall asleep, don't do that. If you need to look at the words so that you can imagine together, then look at the words. But I'm going to read this slowly and intentionally for us to get a good look at what real love looks like. So come with me in your imaginations and let's follow Mr. Spurgeon together. He says, "O heir of heaven," that's you and me, "lift your eyes and behold the scenes of suffering through which your Lord passed for your sake. Come in the moonlight and stand between those olives and see him sweat great drops of blood. Go from that garden and follow him to Pilate's bar. See your master subjected to the grossest and filthiest insult. Gaze upon the face of spotless beauty, defiled with the spittle of soldiers. See his head pierced with thorns. Mark his back, all rent and torn and scarred and bruised and bleeding beneath the terrible lash. And O Christian, see him die. Go and stand where his mother stood. And hear him say to you, 'Man, behold your Savior.' Come tonight and stand where John stood. Hear him cry, 'I thirst.' And find yourself unable either to assuage his griefs or to comprehend their bitterness. O love insatiable, though he had given up one hand to cancel sin and the other hand to reconcile us unto God, and had given up one foot that we might have our sinful feet forever transfixed and nailed and fastened, never to wander, and the other foot to be fastened to the tree that we might have our feet at liberty to run the heavenly race. And there was nothing left but his poor heart. And he gave up his heart too. And they set it a brooch with the spear, and forthwith there came out blood and water. Lord Jesus, I never knew your love till I understood the meaning of your death. If you want to know what real love looks like, if you ever start to doubt if there is a real love that has been poured out and is continually poured out on you, saints, behold and behold and behold and behold the cross of Jesus Christ. To behold means to be sure to see. I'm just inviting us again this morning, be sure to see the cross of Christ and what was poured out for us there. That's what real love looks like. And we can't just stop there. We have to go to the next question. How do we actually love one another? Now, you ready for this? We ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. I'm sorry, what? That whole imagery that you just walked through, that's the invitation we now have? And I gotta tell you, preparing for messages like this are very humbling. For me to stand up here and be like, lay down your lives. Just so you know, not perfect at that. I got to go to a conference at the beginning of this year with some people from our church. It's called Altars. It was in New York City, and they led through this beautiful time of repentance and just quiet and listening. And specifically, we were inviting the Holy Spirit to come convict us. I'm like, Holy Spirit, search me, know my heart, see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And so sweetly but directly, I felt the Holy Spirit say, for love to truly be love, it has to stop being about you. The opposite of love actually isn't hate, it's self. And I was like, That sometimes we get so deep into self-protection, self-justification, that we excuse ourselves from extending agape love in the way that Jesus extended agape love to us. But I'm saying one of the most unbelievable things we've been equipped with is the ability to go and love like that. That actually I can go and pour out love on you expecting nothing in return, because I know the source of all love who will never run out of it, who can continue to pour love out on me. So when I pour love out on you, I don't actually lose anything. And here's what I know. Some of us have opened ourselves up so much feeling like we extended love, offered forgiveness, and it was not offered back in return. And so we start to self-protect, turn that love back in. And I'm calling us again this morning to be audacious with opening yourself back up to loving people like that. One of the godliest men I know is my granddaddy. He's the only person in the world that can call me baby. And when I was growing up, my parents were very involved in this church. Like I was born into it. I call myself, whatever church background you're from, So we started Pentecostal, and then we went to like the teeniest, tiniest, like classic white steeple Baptist church. Then we went to like a Pentecostal light, then a little Presbyterian. That I'm like team church. But this church that I grew up in genuinely like deeply hurt my parents. Like it was wrong. Essentially, we got kicked out because my middle brother was a lot. That story to come soon. And I was too young to understand what they were going through, but I remember my dad, it was the first time I saw my parents cry. And my dad was sitting with my granddaddy. How could God let them get away with this? And my granddaddy, in his southern, faith-filled way, looks at my dad and just goes, "Son, nobody gets away with anything." And the reason we can love freely, offer forgiveness freely, lay down our lives freely, is because we relieve ourselves from the pressure of holding people to the justice that God, the perfect judge, will deal out. I can love freely because I know someone who will right all wrongs. Even if you abuse the way I love you, it doesn't mean I have to keep laying down like a mat, but I can say I love you and walk away and say, God, I still extend love. Maybe our relationship can't be restored, but I still extend love. So I want to ask you this morning, I'm not going to give examples, but maybe when you drive home, maybe tomorrow morning, just ask the Holy Spirit, what am I using as an excuse to live in this kind of love? I want to give examples so bad, but I feel like the Holy Spirit won't let me because he wants to tell you. I'll tell you mine. A lot of times what I feel like excuses me from this kind of love is I just get overwhelmed. There's just so many people to love, you know? I'm in a church community where I'm constantly meeting with people and trying to, how do I hold their pain? And sometimes it just makes me go, you know what? I'll love you from over here, you know? I just get overwhelmed. There's so many gaps. How do I fill it with love? And C.S. Lewis has this beautiful quote where he says, loving everybody in general may be an excuse for loving nobody in particular. Do we love everyone? Yes. But love is active. Love is visible. And so I'm like, okay, one at a time, one person at a time. How do I display this love? And listen, what I don't think God is calling us to is one dramatic act of love. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you should go down the mountain and just tell everyone, how can I give up my life for you? Like that's, don't freak people out. But this is a daily, one act at a time. I'm going to lay down my rights. I'm going to lay down my opinion. I'm going to lay down my position. I'm going to lay down what I'm quote unquote justified to do, and I'm going to love you anyway. One step at a time, one act at a time. And you know the way you learn to love like this? You just love like this. So small. I've never been married, but I've had 25 roommates in my life. Yeah. And you know what may seem so small, but it's a practice in learning how to love like this? Coming home again and again and nobody else has emptied the dishwasher. I'm not doing it this time. I'm not. And I just hear the Spirit whisper, lavish love. One time, Kaylin and I had a beautiful small group of girls who almost killed us. We had a summer camp. We paid for them to go. We're like, they've never been to a camp like this. We're buying them dinner. You know, we're just like, they're gonna meet the Lord. Instead, I'm breaking up fights, physical fights. Like these kind of fights. Yeah, good times. And we just had this beautiful morning session like this, like people are meeting Jesus. And I'm like, this is gonna happen. It's gonna happen, God. We're walking out the hotel room. They're fighting again. And I'm like, I'm gonna throw y'all into the sea. Like, yeah, we were near the ocean. And I hear the Holy Spirit whisper, lavish love. So we went to a local surf shop. And I said, girls, pick out anything you want. Had they done anything to deserve it? No. But you know what happened as I did it? The anger melted. My heart swelled for them. And I started to tear up in this wings. I don't know if y'all have those. They're pretty sketchy. As I realized, I have done nothing to deserve the love that's been lavished on me. And now I get to live in that same freedom of love and lavish it on other people. This is an honor. This is a joy. This is miraculous. You want to see the earth, the space between heaven and earth start to melt? We start loving people like this. Some of us, maybe the most loving thing we can do is quiet a little bit on Facebook. And instead go to our neighbor and be like, hey, how, this may be weird. How can I serve you today? As hate starts to rise, one of the best ways to hijack the enemy's scheme is to go and love anyway. I'm inviting us to this reality, lest we forget to behold and behold and behold. Richard, whenever you're ready, you can come on out. I'm trying to decide if I want to read this last scripture. Okay, thanks. In Isaiah 14, I just want to show us the reality, the opposite of this agenda of love that Christ lived out and is now handed to us, that the enemy had the opposite agenda of selfless, sacrificial love. And Isaiah shows us the reality of why Satan got kicked out of heaven, and it was because of this self language that was so, look at this, Isaiah 14, 13 to 14. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And as I was studying this, this quote came up that I just wanted to read for us. Any speech marked by I or me language is the tongue of the enemy. The heart consumed with selfishness says, I will. The heart consumed with agape love of Jesus Christ says, thy will. The prayer that we talked about last night, the sacrifice of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus has empowered us to go into a world who only knows the language of I will, and to come like a piercing light into the darkness as women who continually say, thy will. And if you want to know what the will of God looks like, again, behold the cross and love that has been lavished on us so that we can go and lavish love on other people. I don't think we're all going to get to heaven and think, gosh, I wish I'd sacrificed less. Just wish I'd kept stuff for myself. I think we might all get to heaven and be like, why was I holding on to that stuff? Why was I holding that bitterness? Why was I holding that grudge? Why was I... Lavish love is the most free life we could possibly live, displayed for us on the cross and now empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is where the joy is. This is where the fun is. Living like this, loving like this is fun. It is free. I gotta tell you, if you are bored in your faith, that is not God's fault. He has never once been boring. He has given us a fun, faith-filled adventure of a life as we go and lavish love like this. So here's what I would love to do to wrap up our whole weekend. You can put your journals up, your Bibles up, your phones up. And we're going to do two, I believe, really beautiful things to wrap up our time together. We're going to practice some equipping. But you can go ahead and close your eyes just in a moment of focus and asking the Holy Spirit to come move in us personally. And I really believe I would be disobedient if I didn't give one more invitation to respond to the cross of Jesus Christ. We just outline the gospel the best way I know how, imperfect, but I do believe the word of God and the cross of Jesus is strong enough to preach for itself. And so without belaboring the point, if you're just here this morning and maybe all weekend you have felt this like heart rate going up, I think that's me. I need to receive this lavish love. Sister, Jesus, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So quite simply and directly, if you need to receive salvation, the payment of Jesus Christ for the salvation of your sin, so that you can live this life of lavish love too, then all eyes closed, but very boldly, if you'll just lift your hand up over your head right now. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Keep your hands up. Amen. 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 I don't want to rush at anybody else. If you're thinking, if she asks one more time, I know it's for me. Go ahead and lift your hand up. Amen. I'm going to do the same thing I did last night. You can put your hands down. Sometimes people lead you in a prayer, but I want you to know already that as soon as you utter the name Father, you're a terrific prayer. So I want to leave 30 seconds and you tell God that you want to receive this lavish love that he's offering you today. So 30 seconds, you do that to yourself. Amen. All right, y'all, you can look up at me. Hey, we had quite a few women just respond to the gospel. Can we celebrate? Thank you, Jesus. Hey, if you did just raise your hand and want to talk to someone about that, we're about to move into a time of response again. I would just encourage you to talk to one of the hosts, the women who are here to pray, or to a friend before you leave today, because we would love to help you in now what this life of walking in this lavish love looks like. But holy cow, am I excited for you. Because I'm telling you, the things you have felt powerless to do is because you didn't have the power before. But now you have the power because of the life that you just received. Hallelujah. Okay. The next thing we're going to do, and I'm really excited about this, is I have felt all weekend, what I love about this place is there's such generational legacy here. It's my first time, didn't know, but there's like faith seeped into the soil of the decades. Like somebody's dad went here for camp. I'm like, how old is this camp? Like, this is amazing. There's like, I mean, the three generations of blind karaoke up here. Like, this is awesome. Faith has been passed down, but here's what I know. I've also talked to probably at least six moms who are still praying for children to come to the faith. And I'm going to do this quickly, but I just want to testify because I believe that the enemy is defeated by the blood of the Lamb and also the word of our testimony. I have two older brothers. My middle brother has been an addict for a long time. A year and a half ago, he overdosed on heroin and fentanyl, going 55 miles an hour down the road, hit a tree with my two-year-old nephew in the car. Miraculously saved. It looks like God held the cab. I was in Australia, not even close. I hit my knees in the middle of this public park when my mom called, just praying. This is not a theological statement, but I was praying in the spirit because I didn't know what else to do. Australians are walking past just going, "You're right, mate." Like, no. But there was this song that I sang driving in the car. I don't know if y'all ever sang or prayed so hard that you almost threw up. But I'm in the car singing this song, Jesus for my family. Except it was more like, Jesus for my like, I'm like, go talk about warring prayer. And my brother went to jail and he encountered Jesus in prison. I'm talking Acts level encounter. He was in deep darkness and he said he saw Jesus enter it and lift him out. And he's a new creation. And I have to tell you, with what little faith I had, I kept praying. I'm talking about like not even mustard seed. And I want us to share faith this morning to not give up for those family members. God says it is his desire that none should perish, but all come to a knowledge of the truth. Because I know even as I share that story, you're like, good for you. Because I used to feel that way. But I'm telling you, I still believe though, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said in Daniel, I prayed believing that even if he doesn't, I'll still worship him. So I want to invite now, if you are a mom, a sister that is praying for a child, a brother, a father, and you're like, I need faith to keep contending, and we will contend together, okay? So if that's you, will you just stand up all over this room? Wow. I'm knitting my faith to yours. And what's beautiful about my brother is he's now our prayer. I'm going to tell him, there's a bunch of women that need your prayers. And he'll be like, all right. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray, but we get to practice this equipping now. So I'm saying, yes, move to our hosts, but I'm also going to encourage some people, if you've seen breakthrough in your family, please go lay hands on one of these women and pray for them as we're about to sing and respond. And if that intimidates you, do it anyway. You know how we get equipped a lot of times? We do it anyway. Sometimes people will ask, like, I love how Megan like talks about the Holy Spirit. She'll just look at you and be like, what's he telling you? And you're like, I don't know what's he telling you, you know? I feel like he's telling you something, just tell me what he's telling you. That didn't just possess her body. A lot of times it's just stepping out. I don't know what I'm doing. And you do it anyway, and that's when the Holy Spirit power takes over, and you're like, I didn't even know I could do that. I'm saying, do it. If you're like, I feel like God told me to tell this woman this, do it. And we're going to give grace in this room to practice in faith, okay? Can we do that together? So I'm going to pray, and then as we sing and as we respond, and it's okay if it's awkward. You know, if you're, excuse me. That's okay. Maybe some faith will glance off of you as you hit a sister, you know? Let this be open space, all right? If you need to come to the front again and just contend, I believe, help my unbelief. Free space, okay? Sometimes we're equipped by just doing it anyway. I'm going to be quiet and then we're going to pray. Okay, let's pray. Father, it is your desire, yours, that none should perish, but that all would come to a knowledge of the truth. So my simple request is that you would fulfill your desire. Pour out salvation. King Jesus, I contend right now for daughters and for sons who are right now eating out of the pig trough. And I pray for a Holy Spirit revelation that their eyes would be open and go, what am I doing? And they would run home and they would see a mother standing on the porch representing the heart of the Father as they are embraced and not judgmental, but in agape love. We bind the enemy right now in Jesus' name. His narrative, his shame, his temptation, his lies, his schemes. What kind of candle can he hold in power to the expanse of the universe of like the blazing glory of the sun to your power? God, I repent for when I don't ask for this enough, when I don't believe you enough for this, when I don't contend for salvation. But God, right now, we are humbly but confidently calling you out on your promises, on your desire, on your word. For those who feel like they have tired hands from clinging to hope, would you strengthen their hands again? For those who have weak knees, they feel like they can't even stand in the faith anymore, would you strengthen their stance? I pray for those who are even, they know they're supposed to go pray for a sister right now, but they're nervous, give them boldness. God doesn't need your perfect words, but even your movement towards that sister might break something in the spirit. We believe you. Jesus, your love has been lavished. Lavish it in bucket loads in this room as we get equipped in our prayer together. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Have your way. Have your way, Holy Spirit. I don't even know like what all to ask for, but I know that I don't need to. I'm just saying, your kingdom come. Your will be done in this room, in Hume, as it is in heaven. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's move.